Mrs. Elliott, are you hopeful for this election? Are you hopeful that the results will be as you would like it to be?
Yeah, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because now he is saying so many things that are outrageous and absolutely based on nothing but his narcissism. And now people are beginning to see that. He has been consistently making anti-racist remarks, anti-Black remarks, anti-Muslim remarks, remarks that would come out only out of the man who was totally ignorant about those who are different from himself. And now, just before that debate, he issued an edict saying that no one who is employed by the federal government is allowed to take diversity or inclusion training anymore because it's un-American. So you see, what he's saying is what I do is un-American. I'm not un-American. I'm anti-racist and I'm anti-ignorance. What we have right now is a study in ignorance.
And yesterday, I spoke with our New York correspondent, Phil Brown, an Aussie expat, to get his take on the Big Apple's reaction to the election. As someone who cannot vote, his comments were quite interesting. Well, welcome back to Travel Writers Radio, Phil Brown, our Aussie expat living and working in New York City. Just thought we need to have a catch-up before the big event, which is, I think, Tuesday of next week. Phil, how's everything in Gotham?
Well, thank you very much, Graham. Yeah, everything is moving. I mean, the big event has actually already started. Voting started this weekend. There were queues for miles, people queuing up to cast their vote early. And as you know, people have been voting by mail ballot for, you know, a month or so. But the lines were, you know, blocks and blocks and blocks to get in and vote. So people are coming out early. They're voting. Apparently the attendances are up like over 30% over what you would normally see at this time of the year.
Oh, okay.
So not sure if that's just COVID-related, people getting early, but certainly people are out there. The Democrats seem to be about 2-1 over the Republicans at the moment. So
can you see that in the line, or are you just basing that on the poll results?
No, they're interviewing people as they're coming out of the polls.
Oh, exit interviews. Okay. And are these votes, these are not postal votes. They're being put into a ballot box inside some secure facility, are they?
That's right, yeah. They're early open polls. Yeah, they're physically going in, casting their vote, putting it in the ballot box.
So last time we spoke, you did explain to me about this issue with the postal votes and possibly this is a point that Donald Trump was going to use to his advantage in claiming not a mistrial, that's a slip of the tongue there, a misvote, if there's such a thing.
Yes.
But he can't do that with these early voting arrangements because they're actual votes in a ballot box, not going via the mail service.
That's right. He can't challenge these votes at all, and he can't challenge any votes that were legally sort of requested and posted. But he did a number of other things that were really interesting. For example, he had the postmaster actually get out and remove a whole bunch of post boxes from communities with high sort of migrant populations and Black populations, so that was interesting. He also removed the mail sorting machines from a number of those post offices so they couldn't actually sort the mail.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, he's mobilised over 1,000 lawyers to attack the voting legislation in a number of states. So many of the states, because of COVID, extended their voting deadlines and said, look, if you know, for mail votes, we'll give you an extra 5 or 6 days to count the votes. So he is attacking all of those because he knows postal votes are largely Democratic. So he is moving, heaven and earth to have those changes rejected. So he's got the postmaster doing the job for him. And of course, he's challenging a lot of the mail-in, ballots anyway. So, and as well as that, of course, he's appointing Amy Coney Barrett in record time to make sure that most of those challenges, if they hit the Supreme Court, probably go the right way. It's an all-out offense from the Donald. He's got all his forces out there.
I just going to say, if nothing else, he is a master of, you know, pulling rabbits out of hats, isn't he? Doing the unpredictable. You know, if it's been done by anybody before, he's not going to do it. He wants to drag people off in a totally new direction. Last time, obviously, the polls were wrong with Hillary well in front. Is there any risk that that's the situation now?
That's what worries everyone. There's always that risk with Donald Trump. And if you look at it, he has a very loyal base. About 38% of Americans will vote for Donald Trump no matter what he does. They are just so loyal to the cause. So when you think about it, you have to get, you know, 51, 52% of the vote to win. And that leaves a very small amount of people that are really available as swing voters. It's really interesting. If you look at the numbers, right now Biden has something like 260 votes of the Electoral College. Trump only has about 120. There is still about 120 undecided, and that's spread over eight states. If Biden wins two or three of those sort of swing states, then he's home and hosed.
But the big states are pretty much decided. Like California is a liberal state, isn't it?
California, definitely. California's blue. New York is blue. There are a couple of the big ones. Texas is borderline.
Right.
California has, you know, if you look at the Electoral College, I think California has about 60 of these electoral votes. Texas has 38. New York has 29. So Texas is really important. That's a very, you know, that's really a critical one. And Florida's another one. Florida has 29 votes. That's the same number of votes as New York. So they're really, really critical to both parties. So it's coming down to a decision in just probably, you know, five or six of these critical states. And the polling shows, you know, Biden is there, Biden is going to win, but no one's really sure with Donald Trump, because sometimes people will just say that they're voting for Biden, but they actually are secretly voting for Trump, just don't want to admit it. So anyone's guess at the moment. It's so hard to tell, and people are very nervous about the outcome. But I think the fact that the people are out there in force very early, the queues are massively long, longer than anyone has ever seen in American history, suggests that the Democrats are well on the way, I think, to winning this thing. The other big battle is more about the Senate. You know, the Senate is really interesting because there are something like 30 of the... There are 100 seats in the Senate, and about 30 of them are up for re-election this year. And the Democrats look like they might have about 49 of those seats.
And that would give them a majority?
It may. The Republicans have 47, it looks like, at this stage. That's the way the vote... That's the way the polling is going. And there are four undecided. Now, it's really interesting. If they end up actually 50-50, which they could do, it's happened, I think, only two or three times in the whole sort of history of the US, then the vice president of the US actually has the casting vote. And that puts everyone in a fairly difficult position, actually. So that's a really close race. But whatever happens, there is not a big enough swing for them to take major control. Because when it comes to major legislative change, you actually need 60 votes in the Senate.
What are people putting Trump's potential loss? Let's just go with the polls for the minute. What are they putting his loss down to? Is COVID the significant factor, or is there other things as well?
Two things, really. It's COVID is the number one factor for sure. And just the fact that he's a serial liar, and people are sick of the daily drama. They're so sick of the intensity of waking up every morning thinking, what the hell has he done now? what's the latest tweet? Who has he fired? What has he done? You know, what did he say to Russia last night on the phone?
Yeah.
You know, people are so tired of it. It's just drama every single day, and the country is tired of it. So they're the two big things.
Even Republicans.
The Republicans are tearing their hair out because they know that if he gets on Twitter and really attacks them for saying anything about him or against him, that He can potentially sink their electoral hopes
for some time
in the Senate. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's very frustrating for them, I'm sure.
I just think it's almost like a Hollywood blockbuster. Maybe there's some entertainment factor that people were enjoying early in the piece, but I think the saga's just gone on a bit like Coronation Street and Peyton Place. It's just gone on a few episodes too long, maybe.
Yeah, I think it feels very much like it's tiring. Like,
yeah,
it is entertaining, you know, when you see Donald Trump in full flight and, you know, he's upset about something. It's actually quite entertaining. But it's tiring when you see that day after day after day and no accountability, no plan to actually do anything about anything. Mark Meadows, you know, the other day said, or yesterday actually, said that they had no intention of trying to combat the virus. They were just looking forward to an antiviral, drug that was the issue. So, you know, everyone knows now, and it was a really... bad statement, to be honest, in the last week of the election to say that they'd given up. So I think that's going to drive more people over to the Biden sign in these last few days.
Now, Phil, I have heard with some concern from other friends over in the States that there is the potential for some sort of uprising if Trump gets beaten, that these guys are armed and dangerous, I suppose. Well, is there any strength to that rumour?
Yeah, that's been around for a while. I think it's just, typical, bravado of guys with guns. But I think the moment they try anything, they're going to be shut down pretty quickly. I don't see that really happening. I don't think there'll be that sort of uprising. Trump will go. He'll go with his tail between his legs and, probably... just disappear. I hear that, but I don't really think it will happen. The forces here, the legal system here is pretty quick to shut those things down, the FBI, the CIA, all of that. They'll move very quickly if that happens, and the army if necessary. What I love about the election is that they actually have they have incentives now to get people out to vote. I don't know whether you've heard about this
or not. No.
But, they're offering, certain areas, they're offering free coffee and donuts. I heard of one in Atlanta the other day. They're offering raffle tickets to to win a Black Eagle 12-gauge shotgun if you drop into the gun store and show your I voted card.
I mean, is there any chance they'll ever bring in compulsory voting like we have here in Australia?
No, I don't.
That's against the First Amendment or something, is it?
Yeah. About 55% of Americans typically vote. So that's about 130 million people typically out of
right.
About 240 million eligible voters. So about 130 million vote, but they think that this time around we might get up to about 70% of people voting, so about 170 million or so.
We assume that the Black Lives Matter folks are against Trump and would support Democrat. Is that proving to be true? Are the exit polls showing that? Is it a definitely. race at all?
Definitely. The Black community are definitely supporting Trump.
Supporting Trump or Biden?
Supporting Biden.
Right.
Say. Even 50 Cent reversed his opinion the other day. I don't know whether you saw that or not. He had 50 Cent last week, but 50 Cent reversed his opinion yesterday. You should Google it. It's quite interesting. Certainly, the Black community is supporting Biden big time, and it has had a definite impact. You can see in his demeanour that he is not walking and talking like a winner. He's talking like a bitterly defeated person at the moment. There was some news today that Jared Kushner was talking about Trump starting up his own TV network, Trump News, which looks like his sort of exit strategy. Yeah. So even the fact that Jared Kushner is talking about an alternate career suggests that he's already resigned to moving on.
Mm.
Graham Kimlow was speaking with Phil Brown. And before that, an excerpt from a Bridget Leslie interview with anti-racism educator, 87-year-old Jane Elliott.
This is the Travel Writer Show on J Air 88 FM in Melbourne.